Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Letters from World War II by Barbara Jane Hannon is the story of her parents' lives during the war years that unfolds through the letters they wrote each other while apart. World War II was a time most of us cannot imagine. Lives were interrupted, dreams and hopes put on hold while the war raged. Barbara's parents' lives were affected by her father's enlistment in the Army Air Corps. As a navigator on a B-17 bomber, he left for England to fly bombing raids over Germany, and her mother didn't see him for 2 years. Shot down parachuting out of a burning plane and captured by the Germans, he spent 16 months in a German prisoner of war camp. At war's end, stranded in the East Germany and under Russian control, the POWs almost did not get home until a dramatic air rescue was organized to get them out. A must-read story of one couple's lives during the war. After their deaths, Barbara found a box of letters, telegrams, other war documents from World War II that revealed her parents' lives during the war years. Although she says her parents never talked much about the war, the story of what happened to them that unfolded through their letters moved her to share it as an example of the strength, courage, and commitment of a generation that lived through an extraordinary time. Letters from World War II, a fascinating family memoir covering a soldier's bravery and sacrifices, and author Barbara Jane Hannon is our guest on This Week in America. Barbara, welcome to the program. A pleasure to have you with us.
Hello.
It is a remarkable story that you tell here. I'm so impressed by what you've done in telling this story, in keeping our attention and sharing all the emotions that your parents were going through during this period. What made you write the book? I mentioned finding the letters. What was it about that that made you decide, this is a book that I have to write?
Well, I think my parents were not very different from other World War II vets in that they never talked about it. My parents never really talked about what happened. Although my sisters and I knew a few things about our dad in World War II, one of the things that we knew, Rick, was growing up, our family celebrated Jump Day every January 11th. My dad would come down from upstairs and throw his arms in the air and say, "It's Jump Day. Let's have pancakes." But, you know, as little kids, young kids, all we knew about Jump Day was that our dad jumped out of an airplane with a parachute. We didn't really know why. We didn't know why he was on the plane. We just didn't know until we were older. And then really what we knew, what our dad told us, was that he was a navigator on a B-17 bomber. He had to bail out of the plane when it was hit by artillery fire and fighters. And then he was captured in a German prison camp, and then he got on a boat and came back home. That was about the extent of what we knew. And looking back, I never asked him. I never asked him to tell us more of the story. What we got were occasional comments and little stories, but they were all disconnected. I did not know his story. So when I found these letters, and especially all of these incredible historical documents, and started putting this story together, I was absolutely stunned at what he went through. I had no idea. And the more I learned about what happened to him and the more research I did, you know, on the 8th Air Force and the 381st in this prison camp, I was just so stunned, and I became enamored of this story. And I think some of the reason I wrote the book is because there is a little sense of guilt here that I never asked him. I never asked him when I put his story together and realized how brave he was. Yes. I never got a chance to tell him that. So I just wanted to tell his story. And just a lot of that was for me and for my sisters. And that's why I did it. And it opened up this incredible world. As soon as COVID was over, I got on a plane and went over to his airbase in England, met the curator, and then I went to his prison camp in Germany and learned all about that and met the curator of the prison camp. And the more I learned about his story, the more I just felt this need to let somebody know. My parents were just two ordinary teenagers from Cedar Rapids, Iowa, when they met, and extraordinary things happened to them. And I just wanted to tell their story.
Well, like so many, it is so powerful when you read the story that Barbara has put together, and in particular, it really goes inside the POW camp. I'm fascinated. We hear, and there were like, I think, what, 9,000 that were in the camp over there. We really don't know a whole lot about what happens there. What happened there? You've got what they had a college set up. Your dad was a bookie. Did I read that correct? That he had.
Oh, my dad was a bookie.
In the POW camp, they even had an underground newspaper. Didn't have a printing press, but they still got the paper out, didn't they?
They printed it on toilet paper because the toilet paper was sort of hard paper, you know. But those were all the things that I learned, and I was pretty astonished. There were some very shocking things for me, Rick.
Yes.
In the bottom of one of these boxes, there were German Reichsmarks. They were wartime German Reichsmarks. And then I picked up these red, white, and blue French francs. And I looked at these French francs and I thought, now wait a minute. Wait just a minute here. How did my dad get to France? What was he doing in France? I didn't know he was in France. I called one of my sisters and said, did Daddy ever tell you he was in France during the war? And she was adamant. She said, no. He was in a German prison camp, and then he got on a boat and came back to this country. Discovering how my dad got to France and what he was doing in France was stunning. Because I think one of the biggest stories in this book is how these 9,000 POWs were evacuated and rescued from this camp. You know,
Yes.
he it was it's a remarkable story. It's well documented. In fact, there is grainy YouTube video of it. And I think, you know, a lot of people know all about Stalag Luft 3 because of The Great Escape and the movie Steve McQueen. They know the story of Dunkirk, but not very many know, many people know about the dramatic rescue of these 9,000 POWs out of this German prison camp. And I just felt the need to tell the story. It's very dramatic, very stunning
And for
on
most of
how they
us,
got out of there.
it's the first time we've heard that. You can imagine the logistics of moving 9,000 prisoners and getting them out when the well, you'll read that story unfold in Barbara's book, Letters from World War II. Barbara Jane Hannon is the author, our guest on the program. Her website is barbarahannon.com, HANNON.com. Book available wherever books are sold. Links on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. It's a remarkable story and so well told that makes it even better because we follow, we see, we feel like we know your parents, your dad, and what he was going through over there. Talk about the effort, the organization that went into putting this together because it's so well laid out. It tells a story in such a dramatic fashion. How long did it take you to put this book together?
So it took me about 2 years. The funny thing is I took all of these letters and the boxes, the scrapbook to my house, and they sat in my house for 8 years. And then I needed a project because of COVID, and one morning made a big pot of coffee and got these boxes out and began to look through these. And it just took me a long time to put this story together. And the whole time I was thinking, all I would have had to do is ask my dad or ask my mother. But I never did. And I think it was a good journey for me to put the story together. And I had to do a lot of research. As I said, I went over to the airbase in England, went to the actual prison camp, and just began to put this story together and find anything I could about the rescue of these guys, how they got out of there, the prison camp. And it was startling and it was stunning. And that was all done before I really was able to read these 85 letters. It was extremely emotional to read these letters between my parents from each place my dad was. And my mother's letters to him are absolutely stunning.
Yes.
What she did in her letters to keep his hopes up, to keep their future in focus, this positive, we're going to see each other again. I know we're going to see each other again, and our future's going to be great. My mother's letters are stunning. And people don't write letters like that anymore,
No,
Rick.
they don't.
You
No.
know, they don't. And then you can tell my dad's letters from prison camp how appreciative he is of her letters, and that he was just living for the day that he could see her again in these stunning, stunning letters. And I was so moved by how my parents dealt with this. In 85 letters, there is not one single word of why me? Why did this happen to me? Poor me, this terrible war. Nothing. Just my father wrote to my mother. It was clear in England that he was getting, I would say, more frightened getting up in this plane every day. And he wrote to my mother, it gets harder and harder to get in the plane every day because you don't know what's going to happen and your life hangs suspended until you see the coast of England again. But I signed up for this job and I will do it to the best of my ability, no matter what. My dad wrote that to
Yes.
my mom. And all the time, if you know a lot about the 8th Air Force during World War II, when my dad was flying in 1943 and early 44, it was a slaughterhouse up there, Rick. You
Yes.
know, his chances of getting to 25 missions was 25%, one in four in those years before the 8th Air Force sort of got control of the skies over Germany. And the particular raid that he went down on, they had no fighter coverage because of the weather. They were just sitting ducks out there. And even if you bailed out of a plane, you only had a 50-50 chance of getting to the ground. German Luftwaffe pilots like to take pot shots at parachutes. It was something I just was stunned to think about. And it was hard. My dad saying, I'll do it to the best of my ability. It's just a stunning commitment to me. And I'm just very proud of him,
Well,
you
and
know,
well, you
and
should be, and your mother for the support that she gave, and you sense
oh.
that hope, that optimism, while at the same time being aware of the situation, but the optimism that she brought to keep his spirits up and he doing the same for her. It's just a remarkable book, Letters from World War II by Barbara Jane Hannon, Hannon. Her website, barbarahannon.com. Information on the book there, and of course, you can order the book there as well. So many points as you're reading through this, like wow moments. One is that telegram that arrives January 23rd of 1944, saying that basically your father's missing over Germany. Talk about that and what you felt was the impact of that, and how life's changed dramatically for your father and for your mother.
Well, as I said, I had no idea when jump day was. 1944, 45, I really didn't know. And the very first thing I found in the box was the telegram you just described. And I looked at the date and it said January 23rd. In my mother's scrapbook, this is so kind of eerie. She had cut out these articles from our local newspaper about various air battles and the 381st and the 8th Air Force. One of the articles that she had pasted in this scrapbook was an article on this big air battle that went on January 11th over Germany, where 24 B-17 bombers were lost. At the time that she pasted that in, the article I think was dated January 15th, my mother had no idea one of the bombers that went down was my dad's.
Oh, geez.
You know, and just to think about that, she did not know until she got a telegram on February 17th that he was reported as a prisoner of Germany by the International Red Cross. And I thought for 37 days, my mother did not know if my dad was dead or alive. And then what did she know? He was a prisoner somewhere in Germany. It wasn't until April that the War Department sent her another telegram saying he was a POW at Stalag Luft 1, BART Germany. You know, his POW number is 2172. You may write him at that address. And I just thought of this time period with my mother. You know, she didn't know if he was dead or alive for 37 days. And then she didn't know where he was. It was winter. I could just see my mother, Rick. Is he warm? Does he have warm clothes? Does he have food? Nope, is he
yes.
injured? She didn't know. And yet she, and as soon as he found out that the Red Cross was supplying food to this camp, she and her students, she taught high school social studies, and she and her students raised all this money for the Red Cross. She was really, she got their Red Cross bulletins. She actually went to Washington, D.C. She was invited to some hearings on the status of the POWs, you know, in World War II and the POW camps. She got on a train in Iowa all by herself, went out to Washington, D.C. to be at these hearings. I mean, she was just really just totally dedicated, you know, to helping him. And I am very impressed with what my mom did. And I knew she missed him. You can hear it in her letters. She wrote this stunning letter that said, "Darling, you wait there and I'll wait here. And soon we will never have to wait anymore." You know, I mean, she just wrote these letters that were just stunning. And I know that it just kept my dad's spirits up, and very proud of how they behaved. You know,
they're beautiful letters to read as you're reading those. And I, of course, don't know your mother and your father, but they come alive. And these are people, and these are people in very difficult circumstances that are doing their best to get through. He's trying to help her. She's trying to help him.
Yeah.
Those words are so powerful, the way that they are written and the way they were able to communicate. Boy, time has gone by so quickly. A couple of minutes left. What impact did this have on you? And I ask that knowing that you're still very passionate about their story and your ability to be able to tell that story. This really changed your perception of mom and dad, didn't it?
Oh, without a doubt. And as I said, one of the things that sort of ate away at me and why I wanted to tell this story is that I never got to tell my parents how proud I am. I am just so proud of how they behaved, how they helped each other, my dad's courage, my mother's stalwartness. You know, she wrote him as many as 2 to 3 letters a week, not knowing if the letters would get to him, but just kept writing and writing and writing. I mean, I am extremely proud of her and my dad, but I also have a very different view of this whole World War II generation.
Yes.
I don't think my parents acted very differently than others of that generation. Their commitment to the war, unwavering, you know, unwavering commitment to this country and to this war was stunning to me, you know. Their lack of anger, their lack of whininess, you know, that is very impressive to me. And I think my parents represent a lot of that generation.
Well, they do.
And you got to be proud of them, Rick. that you, whole you generation.
You have to be. And you talk to so many who are in your situation with the parents, and they don't really understand mm-hmm. until later when they've passed through what they went through, because most of them don't talk right. about it. They're like your parents. Okay, did that, life moves yeah. on, and here we are today. And I wonder if you would have tried to press your parents more and talk about it, if they even would have discussed it. And, you know, medications.
Oh, I think they would have.
Would have shared with you.
But when I look back, you know, I just never really asked my dad. I yes. never really sat down and said, tell me. I think he would have. But, you know, the subject didn't come up. And then all of a sudden you're a teenage girl, and the only thing that matters to you is your life.
Yes.
Not
yes.
your parents' life, you know. And that is a big sort of regret for me. And I have heard in emails from other people who have seen my book, and they write me and say, you know, my grandfather was on a destroyer. I don't know anything. I do have some letters. You know, how did you put that into a book? Can you help me? I want to learn and to tell my grandfather's story. So I think there's a younger generation out there who is interested. You know, I certainly know that my father's grandchildren and now great-grandchildren are pretty interested. And I just think we cannot forget these stories, and we cannot forget this generation. And we just need to read about them and hold them in our hearts, this whole entire generation.
Well, you've done that so well.
They were stunning.
In Letters from World War II, one review described you as a writer/curator. And I think that curator role is so important. You're sort of a guardian of all of this,
yeah.
aren't you? All of the records, the documents that you have. When you started, and I've got a couple minutes here, but I'm wondering as we're talking, when you started going through and you saw everything that was there, did you have any idea the story that was about to unfold as you went
no.
through all of the documents?
No. No. As I said, these little mysteries began to
yes,
crop up.
Yes.
One mystery I will tell you very quickly is I looked at a medical record for my dad in 1942 when he went originally to flight school, and his weight, Rick, was 165 pounds. At St. Valerie, France, after the war, he had a medical exam. He weighed 124 pounds.
Wow.
So that's just one of the mysteries. I thought it was a mistake. How could he lose 40 pounds? And then, you know, the search and the research was on. What happened in this prison camp? So that piqued my interest and kept me going. Where did these French francs come from? You know, it was those things. There was a commendation to my dad as the lead navigator for the 533rd from Winston Churchill. I picked this up out of the box, and there was Winston Churchill's signature and a big WC,
amazing.
Number 10 Downing Street under it. I'm like, this is a commendation to my dad, you know, First Lieutenant George Hannon. And I thought, my dad had this. He never shared it. It was just, I can't tell you what this whole experience was like.
Well,
I just had to know. I had to know.
Sharing that with everybody, that gives us a whole new perspective. One review called this a true love story for the ages. Another one saying worthy of a Hollywood movie. And that is, I think of that. I can see this unfolding as a movie, the whole progression of the story here. Has there been any talk of a possible movie from the book?
You know, because none of that was ever my intention, you know, with this, I did. I don't know if, have you seen Masters of the Air?
Oh, yes, yes.
The Apple series. I watched that, and, you know, Crosby the hero, he was a navigator, just like my dad.
Yes.
And I watched that, and I thought they should take this series one step farther, you know, and, you know, show this dramatic rescue, you know, with all these B-17 bombers sneaking in under the Russians, you know, in dire fear that the Russians were going to shoot their planes down to get these guys. And I thought, you know, this is just another piece of that story. But that was my dad. You know, he was Crosby, the navigator on that show. But You know, of course, I think, Rick, you talk to lots of authors. You know, every author's dream is that their book becomes a bestseller or a movie. Really, what I wanted to do was preserve the documents and tell my dad's story.
Yeah.
And I did that. I'm
You
very proud of
and
myself
you
for
should
doing
be.
it.
You've done that wonderfully.
And yeah.
And it would make
And that
a
was my goal.
good movie. Some think there's a movie there. They may or may not be a movie there. There is a movie there. The important thing is to get the book, read the book. It's a powerful piece of history. It's a story of people of the greatest generation. It's a must read, should be read in schools. It should be part of a history class. There's so much there, from the people involved to the situations that Barbara's talked about that they had to go through. It's a powerful memoir, Letters from World War II by Barbara Jane Hannon. Hannon. Her website is barbarahannon.com. The book available wherever books are sold. I'd like to thank Reader's Magnet, the self-publishing and marketing company, for arranging our conversation with Barbara today. Barbara, it's real. I got 14 more pages of questions here to talk about. Hopefully, we can do
I
this
know.
again. Thank you so much for being with us. A job well done. You made history come alive. You made the story of your parents come alive. Job well done. Thank you for sharing the story with us.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Barbara Jane Hannon is the author of the book Letters from World War II. Her website, barbarajhannon.com. Actually, take the J out, barbarahannon.com. I'll link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. We're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.